May the words of my hands, I don't know what those would be. you say the same prayer every week for 4 years, and then it just poof. So in 1996, I was 13 years old, and my brother, who's 6 years older than me, was at college, and I was, you know, he was, you know, like all siblings, there was a little tension, but I looked up to him, and he would recommend books, and I would read them, and one week he came home from college and recommended this book, and it was a fantasy book, which I liked, and I really got into it. And I got into it so much, I went like way past him. And like every time a new book came out, I was really into it. And the second book came in 97. The third book came in 2000. I had read the first two again before the third book came in 05. The fourth book came out. I was at seminary and had gone to, I think it was either Thanksgiving or Christmas. My sister lived in Kentucky. And so I bought it on the way there and read the entire time and ignored my family. I'd read all the other books before that one came out in 2011. The fifth book came out. But I didn't know anyone else who had read these. My brother stopped after the first book. It was my own private world. It was my own private world of all my characters in these books. Every chapter has a point of view, has a protagonist. And some of them I really liked and some of them I didn't. And so I kind of just skipped over those. And I was still in control. It was my story and my world. And then, about 7 years ago, this TV series started called The Game of Thrones. And suddenly, other people knew about my little private world. The new season premieres tonight. And I not usually one of those book readers who's like, the movie's always bad. Like, I understand there's visual medium is different than the written word, and some stories are better in books, and some stories are better on the screen. But when I first saw it 6 years ago, I was like, this is not right. This is not my story. it's just different. It doesn't work. And then eventually when the series passed the books, I kind of got on because I wanted to know what would happen. It was this private story. It was this private world, and I had my reasons to latch on to it. The characters that I appreciated, the challenge of it. It's not really a good Sunday morning. I'm not going to show a clip on Sunday morning, but it wrestled with the real challenges of life. And the last two books, which are kind of the quote unquote least popular, are my favorite because they wrestle with grief. They wrestle with PTSD and what happens after war happens and how people recover and what are the commoners supposed to feel whenever all these lords are fighting over marriages. And they're about how like heroism needs to be earned. You're not just given the title, the mantle of hero, and then you have to earn it. It's a challenge, and the choices you make have consequences. I still remember when I read the very first chapter, and it's the same one on the show if you've seen the show, and it's this guy named like Ned Stark, who's this lord, and this there's this guy who runs away from a military group, and so the penalty for that is death, and Ned takes his boys out there, and he's the judge and executioner, and he does the deed himself. And he says this, like, if you are ever going to be in the position to sentence someone to death, you need to be able to carry that out. And, like, don't pass the hard stuff, to pass the responsibility on. And, like, that still sticks with me. Like, I'm not going to ask someone to do something that I don't want to do. And, like, that kind of accountability. Okay, so I promise this is going somewhere. Each house in this story, each of the rich noble families have these words. And like the Starks, who are kind of the protagonists, their words are winter is coming. There's another family that have a motto that's unbowed, unbent, unbroken. And there are these like desert people, and they're really tough and resilient. And then there's the Greyjoys, who are these Viking-like people. Their words are, we do not sow. We do not sow. They call their ships the Reapers. And their ships go in and just take all the money and the harvest from people. They live on this really rocky, craggy island. We do not sow. we do not sow. And those words kept ringing in my ear when I read this passage, when Jesus is talking about the sower. Because I think a lot of churches are like this. They like to make certain claims about what they do or do not do. They may say, oh, you know, we do not sow. We're good at harvesting. We're good at welcoming. We're good at letting people in. We do not sow. Some churches think they shouldn't convert people at all, that that's not a thing the churches should do, as if conversion is a bad thing in and of itself. Conversion is nothing in and of itself. Like, there's bad things to convert to. It's a transitive verb. You convert to something. You don't just convert. You're just like spinning in circles there if you're just converting as is. If you convert to a life of crime, that's not really good. A church that does that, that makes you convert to a life of crime, that should be bad. You should stop that church. But to be the body of Christ, we have to believe that the good news Jesus has for us is not just for us. And if the good news is just for us and not for other people, it's not very good news to begin with. It's not very good news to begin with. If it is just a private story for me or for you and not for other people, it doesn't work. It is like the absurdity of a young Wilson thinking this great book series is just for me and being offended when other people are interested and have thoughts and interpretations. It doesn't work. You know, we do not sow. We do not sow. Maybe some churches, maybe some Christians are out of practice. Maybe we're out of practice sowing. And, it's such a great metaphor. It's such a great parable. You know, if you haven't gardened in a long time, you don't know what to do. You can kind of remember and get back to it, but it's rough. It's rough. Maybe the soil is really rough. Maybe the soil is tough, or maybe it just looks like it. Maybe it looks like it's really rough and you don't want to think about it. All you're remembering is the hard work when you used to do it. You're not remembering the harvest and the fruit of your labor. You're remembering the hot days like today where in 20 minutes it goes from cool to burning, scorching, sauna hot. You're not remembering the joy of the feast, of celebrating when the harvest is done. The seed in the story is good news. We don't make the seed. Nobody makes seeds. You can't make seeds. Monsanto doesn't even make seeds. They kind of genetically modify them a little bit, but they don't create a seed out of nothing, right? The seed is the good news. The seed is that God loves you so much that God sacrificed everything for you. Everything for you. And that sacrifice is not just to keep you from suffering, but to give you friendship with God, with the God who is love. That sacrifice is that you can be an instrument of peace in this broken world, that we do not need to live for ourselves, for our comfort, for fleeting pleasure or treasure. We can live for what lasts because God is with us. We can turn our life around. You can turn your life around. I can turn my life around. I was lost, and now I'm found. That's the heart of good news, is just saying that. I was lost, and now I'm found. If you are lost, God can find you and bring you home. That is the seed. The seed comes from God. Again, we don't create the seeds. We don't create the soil either. The soil is there, but we can still till that soil. We can still prepare it. We're talking about stories this summer, and I want us to think about the stories and the soil. As Lucky read in the later part of Matthew 13, Jesus, in one of the rare moments, just tells us exactly what the parable means. He's like, you idiots, you still don't get it? Here's what I mean. And yet, even when Jesus tells us it's the meaning of the parable, it doesn't exhaust what it can mean for us. It's not like, okay, now I don't have to think about this anymore. Thank you for giving me the answer key. Jesus doesn't give us answer keys. Christianity is not a quiz. Sometimes it might be easier. You think like, oh, if I only get the right answers, then I don't have to think about it. That's not it. It's about a new way of life, a way of love. Jesus says, whenever people hear the word about the kingdom of God and don't understand it, the evil one comes and carries off what was planted in their hearts. This is the seed that was sown on the path. As for the seed that was spread on rocky ground, this refers to people who hear the word and immediately receive it joyfully. Because they have no roots, they last for only a little while. When they experience distress or abuse because of this word, they immediately fall away. As for the seeds that were spread among thorny plants, this refers to those who hear the word, but the worries of this life and the false appeal of wealth choke them, and it bears no fruit. As for what was planted on good soil, this refers to those who hear and understand and bear fruit and produce some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. So one way to think about these four different soils, the path, the rocky ground, the thorns, and the good soil, is to think about a mission field, the mission field of the church. Who are the people in our lives or in our community who are in need of good news? Who are the people in need of grace? Who needs to turn their life around? Who's in need of hope, in need of peace, in need of love? And it is important to remember that the good soil that Jesus refers to is not the righteous or healthy people. The good soil is not the people who have their life all together. That's the path, right? That's people who are closed off to change. The people who figured it all out don't want to hear anything else. That's not what Jesus is talking about. As he refers to in Matthew 9, verse 10 through 13, "And as Jesus reclined at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to the disciples, 'Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?' But when he heard it, Jesus said, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician. But those who are sick, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners.'" I think this passage shows us what the good soil looks like. The good soil are people in need of grace, who are open, who are vulnerable. And that's what, when you till a ground, it is vulnerable, it is open, it is ready to receive. It is ready to receive. Now, I think our first instinct is to imagine that Jesus is talking about other people, right? That's usually the first reading. It's like, okay, Jesus, I know it's a hard read, but it's other people, right? It's not me. You're not talking about me. And I think this is good. It's good to read in that way, but it's also really important to see how we fit in. Where am I in this story? Where are you in this parable? What soil are you right now? Are you the rocky ground to God's word this day? Are you the path? Are you the thorns? Are you the good soil? Are you shallow and exciting, but ultimately without roots? That's a hard question. That's not my question to answer for you. We're asked to reflect and contemplate for ourselves where we are with God. And God gives us challenges in this. We're not meant to be complacent. But I don't even want to talk about that right now. I want us to think about the parable of the sower as different ways of telling the story of Jesus. Different ways of telling the story of Jesus. So let's think about the story of the path. So I think the story of the path is like the Pink Panther with Inspector Clouseau, or like Inspector Gadget, or Maxwell Smart, Get Smart. Do you remember that show? It's a farce. It's absurd. It's exaggerated. And it's like, it may be entertaining for a little bit, but it's ultimately going to close off. And the birds are coming to take it away. And it has no basis and no substance. It's like the story of Jesus as a moral exemplar. The story of the life of Jesus minus the passion. And so Jesus all the way up, as if the story of Jesus ended on Palm Sunday and that was it. It's like, gosh, he's a really good fellow. That Jesus is a really good fellow, but it ultimately doesn't affect us. It doesn't touch us. It doesn't transform or convert. The story of the rocky ground is a tragedy because we see all the potential, all the beauty and the possibility, and yet it all goes away. It's like one of those, it's like a great Shakespearean tragedy. It's like Hamlet or Romeo and Juliet, where we see the possibility, we see the beautiful love. We see the possibility of them living a life together, but it ultimately peters out. It doesn't have the roots to stay. This is the story of Jesus up until Good Friday without Easter Sunday. It's as if the story of Jesus ends at the cross. And a lot of times that's the story presented, as if what the atonement, what happens on the cross, is the last word that God has for us. But when we see Jesus like that, we have no need for the church. We have need for the faith if we don't have the resurrection. If we don't have the hope of new life in God. The story of thorns are the stories of possibility corrupted by greed. And this is like a few years ago, about 10 years ago, there were two movies that were released the same year. There Will Be Blood and No Country for Old Men. It was like these two westerns, if some of you saw. And both of them were about people with good intentions corrupted by greed, that could not let go of their desire for worldly possessions and the desire to abuse others in the way that they had those. And that's ultimately, they cannot bear fruit. That it doesn't matter how strong you are when you're surrounded by thorns, that fruit will just rot and fade away. Because who's harvesting that fruit? Right? The story of good soil is redemption. It's the story that lasts, that feeds, that changes us. That changes us. The story we have to return to again and again and again. But you always have to be open to change in order to be changed. When you close yourself off, there's nothing's going to come. It's not going to break through. There's a story for each soil, but the soils are not equivalent. We can tell the story of Jesus that is tailored to each of these stories. Or we can tell the story of being one of these soils. So I want us to think of one of these stories. That is a time when you were a path and could not hear the word of God. A time when you were shallow, rocky soil and you grew really fast and sputtered out and didn't bear roots. Or maybe a time when you were in thorns and the temptations of the world were too much. Or, praise God, a time when you were the good soil and you bore fruit. And so like last week, we're going to take a time in the middle of the sermon. I know it's a little different. And talk to people. So this means you can't be looking at the hymnal as I would be doing at this point. last week I went and gave communion for the Texas Youth Academy. And I took Dominic with me. And it's a great program of the state of high school kids who are interested in theology. It's like a theology camp. It's not youth camp. It's like they get lectures and they have small groups. It's really interesting. But I gave communion. Dominic came, and in the middle of it, he pulled out the hymnal and started looking through it. And I really couldn't get mad at him because that's what I used to do when I was in church. So it's not the time for this. You need to talk to someone next to you. Please. So we're gonna take 30 seconds to think of a soil. If you can't, then think of a hurt story you've heard. That is like a time when you are closed off to God. A time when you were really excited but burned out. A time when you were surrounded by temptation, or a time when the soil was really good. And then I want you to share that story with the person next to you. And if there's no one next to you, to look and find someone else to talk to. And it's okay to stand up and move. So we'll just take that time to share the word. I'm going to start my timer. So we're ready to pray, starting now. Okay, if you haven't started talking, please talk to me. All right, this is great. Yay. So this is the hint. We're coming back together. We're coming back together. This is good. It's good. It is. It's great to share. And that's one of those things. Like, it's not hard to share stories of God in your life. And it shouldn't be an intimidating thing. And that's one of the main reasons of having this time, is so we can practice in that. Even just practicing right here in this, hopefully, a really safe space to talk about God. If you can't talk about God in the middle of Sunday morning worship, then you should talk to me. Please talk to me. I'd love to have that conversation with you. But that's where it begins. It's just a simple story, again, like, of I was lost and I was found. I had a time when I was really hard, where my faith was not working that right. Or maybe like right now is a time that's really hard, and that kind of thing. And that doesn't mean I give up. That doesn't mean I lose faith. But it's important to be honest with where we are, and honest with who God is and the love that God has for us. In order to sow, you must be sown by God. You have also to know what good soil is and how to work it. And that takes experience. That's where the experience comes, is, you know, the experience of an old farmer who goes out and looks at a field and knows exactly where what could be planted. Can just see where the sun is in the sky and knows what needs to be on this side and what needs to be on that side. It's like you can't learn that in a book. You have to learn it by experience, by living, by telling that story, by looking at where you are, by seeing where people in your life are. One can spend a lifetime with this parable. But when you find yourself being rocky soil, or when you find yourself being the thorns, or you find yourself being the path, the way to till the soil, the way to prepare the land for the seed of good news is what John Wesley calls the means of grace. And the means of grace are coming to worship, are worshiping together, are corporate worship, are the sacraments, is studying the scriptures, is praying, is fasting. It's also the works of piety. It's visiting the imprisoned, clothing the naked, feeding the hungry, comforting widows and orphans in their distress. And these aren't works for salvation. These aren't works to earn you salvation. This is where God is. What Scripture tells us, this is where God is. And if we want to be with God, we need to go where God is. It's just like, we're not going to grow anything if we just stare at the soil, right? Or if we just like fling out seeds and hope. You may have a volunteer pop up, right? But that's not what God is asking us to do. It is not a passive thing, this faith. Preparing our hearts, preparing out the hearts of others is not a passive thing. God wants us to go where God is. And the great thing is, we don't have to go alone. We don't have to tell these stories alone. We aren't sent out to wolves. Jesus tells us we are to be together, to hold each other accountable, to hold each other up, to encourage, to love, to be a beloved community. And when we've tilled ourselves, and when others have tilled us, when we till others, then we tell the story of good news. Again, like, it's not until the soil's been prepared do you put the seed out, right? That's important. If you put the seed out before you till the soil, who knows what's going to happen to it? It might get crushed in the meantime. Then we tell the story of good news. I was lost, and now I'm found. Hey, I used to be lost, and now I'm found. And if you are lost, if you feel lost in this crazy, broken world, God will find you and never let you go. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.